Who can do this part?
Asha flushed.
That's not the problem.
Isn't it?
Ellie gave her a chiding look.
I know you well enough to know that you will offer, not force. There are many out there who would give their lives for this cause just as willingly as you, but whose abilities are far, far less. Why not give them the chance to help, too?
Asha stared at the ground. The words hit home, harder than she cared to admit.
Perhaps you're right,
she conceded eventually, softly. They talked for a while longer, Asha occasionally still worrying over what Ellie had said. In the end, though, tiredness overcame her concerns. She found her way to bed, sighing as she sank onto the luxuriously soft mattress and closed her eyes. There was little more she could achieve until Caden returned. All she could do now was wait. Chapter 25. A scream. Familiar. Davian must have heard the same one a half dozen times before. Emanated from the gray wall of smoke in the distance, echoing over rooftops and through the winding pathways of Zavalar. He barely twitched at the sound now, though it still made some part of him inwardly clench. He, Raelith, Anna, and Ched walked in silence through shadowed tunnels and up scarlet stairwells, Ched's flickering torch leading the way, their footsteps marked by the crunching of loose stones. The distant, muted sounds of other teams leaving in various directions were still audible, as were the occasional sounds of patrolling Algoriat, but otherwise only the elongated shriek of pain from the distance broke the eerie hush. Davian cast a glance across at Raelith, but the other man was staring thoughtfully at the ground and didn't notice the look. Davian wasn't sure if it was a deliberate avoidance. Raelith had asked for time to think after they had made the treacherous return trip from the northern side of the breach. Davian didn't want to press him further than he already had. He silently berated himself again for not being more tactful that night. Raelith had been shaken to his core after seeing the man he knew as Arkhine DeVade. Davian should have known to approach the matter much more carefully. Instead, in a poor, spur-of-the-moment decision, he had tried to allay Raelith's concerns, tried whispering that the man down there might not be the monster Raelith thought he knew, that in Davian's time DeVade had become Caden, changed, switched sides. All it had done was make Raelith look pained, betrayed, as if Davian suddenly were the enemy. The other man hadn't said anything further, but he had clearly been too shaken for them to remain, despite Davian's reassurances, and Davian couldn't simply ask Raelith to go back alone. Not while he was in such a state, not to mention that he had risked so much to help in the first place. Besides, Davian didn't actually know whether the man they had seen was going to be of any assistance to him. The fact that DeVade, or Talcamar, or whatever he was currently calling himself, was here certainly suggested he wasn't currently aligned with the other venerate, but it was no guarantee that he would be amenable to helping Davian, or even know who Davian was yet. So they had returned, navigating the dark-filled mines and shimmying back across the rope to the southern side. Davian had kept his mouth firmly shut on the trip back, afraid that anything he said would simply make matters worse. That had been a week ago now. He had tried talking to Raelith a couple of times since, but on each occasion Raelith had stopped him short, said that he was still thinking, and asked for more time. Davian sighed to himself as they turned down a now familiar alleyway. There was still a good 15 minutes of walking before they got to their destination. They had been working the same section of the city for several days now, scouring each ruined building for any hint of metal. It had clearly been picked over before, but Ched thought it had been during the early days, when it had been much easier to make quota. That would mean that there was nothing obvious left, but still plenty to find beneath the rubble. Soon enough, they reached where they'd left off the previous day, moving to their positions wordlessly. The heavy clunking and grinding of stone on stone quickly filled the air, along with the labored breathing of all four of them as they struggled with their work. Davian hauled aside a large chunk of stone, relieved to find that he needed extra essence in his arms less and less now. His physique had changed a lot over the past month, the thinner diet and hard labor having burned away every ounce of fat from his body. His shoulders had broadened, and his arms thickened too, partly due to the exercise and partly due to his using essence to recover from it, which appeared to have bolstered his muscles' growth even further. He paused, fumbling with Khan, relaxing only when he managed to grasp it. He had been practicing in every spare moment since his and Raelith's encounter with the Elgoriate, but neither the amount of Khan he could access nor his ability with the power had seemed to improve. He could create a thin shield and, more importantly, could draw a little essence into his reserve now. But that was all. He had to fiercely concentrate to do either of those things, and his instinctual drawing of essence from his surroundings still didn't work. Not that there were many sources, anyway, here among the stone and darkness. He couldn't draw from the rest of his team, they needed the energy just as much as he did, so he'd been restricted to a thin trickle from the fire in the evening thus far. Enough to keep him alive, but not much more. He stretched, glancing toward Raelith. The other man was already drenched in sweat, using a long piece of wood to try and lever aside a fallen slab too large to lift. Even at this early stage of the day, the other man was struggling.
"How are you?"
asked Davian quietly, noting that Anna and Ched were out of earshot. Raelith stuttered mid-heave, the stone shifting a few inches but not budging. He changed his grip absently, breathing hard, not looking at Davian.
"The dark is back again. It returned toward the end of yesterday," he admitted. "I was going to tell you tonight."
Davian stared at him worriedly.
"It's been back that long already? You should have said something."
He hesitated.
"This makes it more important than ever that I go back. He could help." "Which is why I did not want to say anything," Raelith growled. "If you are bent on approaching him, you cannot go to him desperate."
Davian shook his head. "If he's the man I am hoping he is, then it won't matter," he said firmly. He glanced toward the building into which Anna and Ched had disappeared, then stepped over to Raelith, placing a hand on his arm. The essence did its work quickly, and soon the dark had retreated once again. Raelith breathed deeply, the color returning to his cheeks. He rubbed his forehead, looking vaguely ashamed, as they both resumed their work.
"I am sorry I've not been communicative,"
Davian nodded slowly.
"I know what he did. I've seen some of what he did."
Raelith gave a short, bitter laugh.
"Have you now?" he said softly. "My grandparents told stories of him, you know. Secret stories, ones that I was warned never to repeat, but ones that I equally knew were true. How their parents before them had been raised on iron sails, knowing nothing but the ocean, and begging port to port for food, always running, never sure how far behind our kind of aid would be. Fleeing in terror because he had destroyed my people's homeland and killed millions of them."
Davian swallowed, lowering the stone he was holding.
"I am sorry, Raelith."
He closed his eyes. In a perfect world, he would let the matter lie for a while, give Raelith's emotions the chance to calm.
"I'm not asking you to trust him, nor forgive him," he continued reluctantly. "I'm asking you to do what you can to let go of your hatred of him, and trust me."
Raelith flinched.
"It's not hatred," he said quickly, defensively. "It's just..."
He trailed off, and his shoulders slumped.
"El alone knows I am trying to work through what you told me, Davian. Truly, I am. Trying to at least accept it in my head. As a beginning."
He turned back to the stone and gave the wooden lever a vicious heave, rolling the slab aside. Davian said nothing to that. He couldn't blame Raelith, no matter how frustrating it was. It had been hard enough for Davian to accept Caden's true identity, taken months for him to truly reconcile himself to the fact, and that for someone he already knew quite well, whom he liked. The fact that Raelith was able to even discuss what Davian wanted to do was a minor miracle. Still,
"I am going to try and see him. With or without your help.
after last bell tonight.
Raelith didn't say anything, sweeping aside some smaller stones with his foot as he examined the area he had just uncovered. Davian opened his mouth to say more, but was interrupted.
Raelith! Shaddad!
It was Anna, sounding unusually enthusiastic. Excited, even. Raelith and Davian exchanged a glance, then hurried over to where the other two had been working. Chet and Anna were standing at the entrance to a near-intact building, peering inside. Chet glanced around at the sound of the other two approaching, beckoning them over.
"Think we may have found something,"
the big man said with a gesture, sounding pleased. Davian joined them at the doorway. The building itself stood several stories high, but the metal scattered around the vast first floor alone was enough to make Davian's eyes go wide. Pickaxes and hammers and shovels glinted dully against the red light streaming in from the sole window to the east, some of the tools hanging on the walls from hooks, again metal, and the rest scattered across benches and the floor. Once a workshop of some kind, clearly.
"Fates," murmured Davian wonderingly, hearing an equally astonished intake of breath from Raelith behind him.
This room alone could keep the four of them fed for weeks.
"How is this still here?"
He took a step forward. Ched grabbed him by the shirt, yanking him back before he could step inside.
"Look with your eyes," he growled,
pointing upward. Davian's heart sank as he understood. The ceiling wasn't just shadowed. Black and oily, the entire thing crawled with a slight rippling motion, indiscernible unless you were watching for it. The dark wasn't a barrier to their collecting the contents of the room, but it would naturally stretch toward anything living. And if it dripped onto one of them, then that would be that.
"We have to risk it," said Anna grimly.
Raelith glanced at Davian, then stepped forward.
"Let me do it."
He was directing the words at Ched, but Anna was clearly included in the request.
"I owe you for taking me in when—"
"No."
It was Anna who growled the word, and though Ched hesitated, he eventually agreed.
"It would take too long for just one person," he said gruffly. "And we need you to haul anyway."
Raelith opened his mouth to protest, but Davian put a hand on his shoulder. Raelith was already infected, which was no doubt part of the reason he was volunteering, but that didn't make him immune to getting worse. His infection was from a single drop. From the stories the others told, even a small puddle of dark could kill in seconds, and there were several pools worth crawling on the surface of the roof inside. Raelith sighed, then nodded his acceptance. They got to work, moving cautiously through the building, agreeing that they should start with the smaller items first. There was too much to take to Istharis all at once. The resulting rations, even if they were awarded them, would be too difficult to hide anyway, and be too tempting a target for other groups. They would end up having to leave someone behind at camp just to guard their stash. So they would try for 2 pails today, an enormous haul by any standard anyway, and systematically move the rest of the metal away from the dark, ready to collect over a period of time. No other teams were combing this particular area, so they should be able to make this find last for weeks. After an hour, Davian paused. Anna and Ched had been responsible for carrying some of the metal away to be stashed, but now Davian could hear faint voices. He cocked his head to the side. There was Anna's distinct feminine voice, and then... He and Raelith both froze at the same time as they heard the hissing lisp in the reply, if not the exact words. It didn't sound like Istharis either.
"Go,"
said Raelith calmly. He indicated the 3/4 full pail on the ground.
"Take that with you."
Davian pumped essence into his arm and snatched up the bucket, moving as quickly and noiselessly as he could in the opposite direction to the discussion. He had barely made it through the far door and out of sight when the harsh sound of scale against stone ground against his ears, too close for him to risk more movement. He winced, gently putting the pail on the ground.
"Stop what you are doing."
The hissing voice was loud. The Dargathan couldn't have been more than 10 feet away from Davian. He closed his eyes, steadying his breathing.
"Name."
"Raelith. How can I help you?"
Theshaseth.
Debian's pulse quickened.
Where is Shadet?
It was Ched's voice, thick with suspicion.
We've already filled a pail, and we can likely fill another before the end of the day. So he's hauling it to Istharis now, replied Raelith casually. If you want to speak to him, he only left a few minutes ago. You might be able to catch up with him, he added, presumably to Theshaseth.
Irrelevant.
Theshaseth sounded irritated, but not especially concerned.
You have heard of the fugitive, Davian?
Davian's stomach lurched.
I remember. From months ago. I assumed that he was either caught or dead by now, though,
Raelith added blithely.
He may be.
Theshaseth sounded displeased at the thought.
However, we had word of someone matching his description, working this section.
Raelith grunted.
You're talking about me? I already went through this. Months ago, he repeated, tone vaguely bored.
Silence again, and Davian held his breath.
You look similar enough, I suppose,
Theshaseth hissed irritably.
The man who sent me here will be beaten for wasting my time. Still, I have reason to believe that he may yet be alive, and the reward stands. Whoever is responsible for his capture will be set free, sent back to their own time. Remember that.
Davian's breath caught. Raelith had never mentioned that. There was a scraping sound as Theshaseth slithered away. Nobody spoke until it had faded.
Shadet is hauling today?
Ched finally asked, doubt thick in his tone.
I asked him to, said Raelith. He does fit the description, you know,
Anna observed. Raelith chuckled.
So do I, and about 20 other people I've seen this week. Besides, even if Shadet was some kind of mastermind who had managed to hide from the snakes this long, would either of you really turn him in, on the chance that those creatures would actually honor their word? Because I don't think I would.
Ched snorted.
And you're a better man than me, Raelith, and I hope El comforts you with that knowledge while you're scavenging rusty nails and I'm back in Ilshan Gat-Del-Teth with my wife and daughter.
There was a grunt from Anna, which sounded very much like she was agreeing with Ched. Davian's heart sank. He'd known deep down that he couldn't trust either of them, but part of him had still faintly hoped that they might protect him if it came down to it. There was the sound of footsteps retreating, and soon enough he heard Raelith resuming his work. After a full minute had passed, Davian steeled himself and hefted the pail, making certain to keep silent and to the shadows until he was well clear of the area. He should be on his way, make sure that Raelith's claim that he was hauling could be verified, either by Ched or by Theshaseth himself. He had only been walking for a few minutes when the tremor hit. A deep rumbling split the air, punctuated by occasional ear-splitting cracks. Davian almost lost his footing as the ground beneath his feet shook violently. Several of the buildings around him shed chunks of sandstone wall, and a few lost the last of their support, crashing to the ground in an explosion of dust tinted red in the light. Davian staggered away from the closest one, wide-eyed as he searched for any hint of something about to collapse on him. This was far worse than any of the tremors he'd experienced since arriving, and many of the others had had aftershocks. As the shuddering earth began to settle, a thrill of fear suddenly ran through him. The others. He dropped the pail where he was, infused his legs with essence, and began sprinting back the way he had come. The choking dust was so thick that Davian couldn't even see the facade of the building anymore. He skidded to a halt and then forced his way forward to where he knew the entrance lay, raising a hand to his face against the clouds still billowing out of the structure. Inside was lighter than it had been before, but completely obscured nonetheless, the grit in the air as thick as any fog.
Raelith!
He shouted desperately as he approached, slowing.
Ched! Anna! Shadet!
It was Anna's voice, more muffled than it should have been and laced with relief. The latter was reason enough for concern. Usually, the strongest expression of emotion the woman showed was a grunt of either approval or disapproval.
"Watch your step!"
Davian heeded the warning, drawing essence and using it to clear away the dust in front of him, immediately spotting the glistening black patina on sections of the floor. He balked as he sent the essence farther, carving a path of visibility inside. There were puddles of dark everywhere. He tapped his reserve further and forced back the dirty red fog, eyes widening as he took in the full extent of the destruction. Then he spotted the body among the rubble. Ched had never stood a chance. The massive section of roof had fallen hard across his back and the base of his skull, crushing both. The massive man's eyes stared blankly toward the entrance, and for an unsettling moment, Davian imagined that he could still see the desperation in them. He had been less than 10 feet from safety. Davian swallowed, scanning the wreckage of the long hall. Head-height piles of stone blocked his view of several areas, collapsed there from the vanished upper stories. Red moonlight streamed in from gaps in the roof, though to Davian's discomfort he noted that not all of the roof was gone. If there were aftershocks, and there had already been one during his mad sprint back here, then that remaining stone could very easily come down too.
"Where are you?"
he yelled, stepping carefully inside. Where he had cleared the dust, he could see dark oozing from the floor and walls, pulling inexorably toward him as he passed.
"Here!"
Davian grimaced. He was in the midst of the cloud, and the voice seemed to be coming from all around him. He drew even more essence, sweeping aside as much as he could. A black pit revealed itself up ahead. Davian hurried carefully toward the 20-foot-wide hole in the floor, which entirely divided the long room. On the other side of the crevasse, Anna was lying flat on her stomach, peering over the edge worriedly. Her eyes glinted with fear as she looked up at Davian's approach.
"Careful,"
she warned, voice shaking.
"There was some kind of shaft underneath the floor, and the roof caving in made it collapse. I'm not sure how stable the edge is."
She glanced at the essence light he was casting, but said nothing. Davian nodded, each footstep cautious as he approached. When he got within a few feet, he moved carefully to his knees, crawling forward to peer over. About 20 feet below Anna was Raelith. The wiry man was on a narrow ledge, pressed up hard against the wall. Another heavy tremor could cause his precarious perch to vanish entirely. His face was deathly white even in the warm glow of essence, though his fearful stare was directed upward rather than at the yawning pit below him. Davian frowned, for a moment not understanding. Raelith wasn't the most physically gifted of people, but it was only 20 feet, and there looked to be plenty of handholds between him and Anna. Why? Then he spotted it. The slash of wet darkness flashing by between him and Raelith, perilously close to the other man. Davian cursed, glancing up at the roof above the pit. A large crack ran across it, through which the dark appeared to be escaping, dripping with a slow but steady rhythm. He forced some lightness into his tone as he considered.
"You could have waited for some rope, Raelith." I know.
Raelith's reply was bravely cheerful, but the tremor in his tone gave him away.
"I just really wanted to get a good look at some dark up close."
Davian could see more of the substance trickling down the sides of the pit now, almost indistinguishable from shadow, seeping from several large cracks.
"Maybe next time,"
Davian called out, flinching as a soft rumble echoed through the city outside and the ground trembled, a tiny aftershock. He stared up at the roof, trying to make out the source of the dark. He could try lifting Raelith out using essence, but that was far from a guaranteed solution. Though Davian had been able to drive the infection from Raelith's body, he knew from experimenting that dark in its pure form cut through essence as effectively as Khan. If Davian tried supporting Raelith with the energy, he had no way of ensuring that the other man wouldn't get hit by stray drops, or that the essence bond wouldn't be destroyed, plunging him into the apparently bottomless depths of the pit. The ground shivered beneath Davian's feet again, and he shifted back slightly, glancing up to where Anna was steadying herself too. Their eyes met. "Go," he mouthed to her desperately. There was no way she could help. The entrance that had been behind her was completely covered with rubble now, but she might be able to climb up some of the debris and find a way out through the roof. Anna hesitated, then her eyes hardened, and she shook her head stubbornly. Davian watched in dismay as another tremor sent Raelith teetering dangerously. He looked around, spotting several large chunks of stone. He breathed out, then reached for his reserve. The shadows were thrown back by the sudden burst of light, and he heard Anna's intake of breath even from across the pit. Davian ignored it, snatching up the largest of the stones he could see, and wrapping them in essence, sending them smashing upward, and then wedging them into the gap from which the dark appeared to be dripping. He waited for a few seconds, holding his breath, then carefully pasted a thin layer of essence underneath, just enough to hold the stones in place for a minute. The essence stayed bright, and the stones stayed in place.
"It won't hold for long,"
he shouted. Raelith was already moving, scrambling upward toward Anna, movements scrabbling and desperate. Anna was so intent on watching Raelith as he neared that she didn't notice the cracking in the ceiling above her. There was a frozen moment as shadows coalesced and then oozed down, quivering and stretching. Davian screamed a warning, but Anna's reaction was far too slow. The dark poured over her greedily, covered her head, smothered any last sounds she might have made. Davian's heart wrenched. He tore his gaze back to Raelith, who had stopped climbing and was frozen in horror. The dark had just taken Anna and was now rushing toward him. Davian tapped his reserve and sent a long, thick tendril of essence toward Raelith, wrapping it around the other man's body and pulling him upward and toward him in one violent, jerking motion. The slim man came flying across the pit, arms flailing even as the temporary plug in the roof finally broke and the ceiling stones plummeted behind him, a steady stream of pent-up dark quickly following. Raelith hit Davian hard, and the two men collapsed in a tangle of arms and legs, the breath temporarily knocked from Davian. He stumbled to his feet, gasping and hauling up a stunned-looking Raelith with him.
"Nothing we could do,"
he said wretchedly, following Raelith's gaze across to the glistening black mound that had been Anna, which was already mostly obscured by the combination of falling debris and shadow. "Come on." He funneled a small amount of essence into his muscles, all too aware of how low his reserve was getting, even with his ability to tap other sources now. This morning, he'd comfortably had weeks' worth left in it. Now it was closer to days. Heart heavy, he lent a limping Raelith his shoulder, and they started the long journey back to camp. Chapter 26 Davian sat on the smooth chunk of rubble, gazing into the fire and focusing with all his will on draining it of essence. Time passed. After too long, he looked away again, breathing heavily, having managed to trickle only the tiniest bit of extra energy into his reserve. The surrounding buildings were silent, despite its being only just past last bell. Raelith slept in the corner, huddled under his cloak. Davian had healed the man's injuries as much as he'd dared. No broken bones, thankfully, but a badly sprained ankle had needed attention. His stiffness and bruises would remain for a while, though. He screwed up his face and chewed absently on some bitter root, glancing at the half-full pail of metal sitting beside Raelith. He had another one tucked behind him, and yet another pile of iron and steel scraps were stashed back at the collapsed building, the remainder of what he'd been able to retrieve, enough to supplement whatever else Davian managed to scrounge while Raelith recovered, and then some. It was no consolation for losing Anna and Ched. He sighed heavily. He would wait until Raelith was well enough to find another team. No one would take him in his current state. And then Davian would leave to talk to Caden, Arkhain Devade, whoever he was right now. He closed his eyes and concentrated again, gritting his teeth as he put all his focus into this one task. Reached out, grasped once again for the elusive dark power. It was there. Right there. He could touch it. He slowly, carefully manipulated it, drew in more essence from the fire. He wiped sweat from his brow and steadied his shaking limbs, noting that the fire was little more than embers now. There was no way that he could keep focusing like that, not regularly, certainly not in anything except ideal conditions. He needed weeks more to practice, maybe months, before he could easily perform these once simple tasks.
"You look tired, Shadit,"
Davian flinched, turning. Marish's hulking form stood silhouetted against the light from the fire in the building opposite, flanked by two of his men. Davian scrambled to his feet, trying not to glance around at the bucket behind him. All three of the intruders were carrying clubs fashioned from wood, hefty-looking weapons that would be sure to do serious damage upon contact. Marish's gaze swept through the building, coming to a stop on the spot where Davian knew the pale was sitting.
"Seems like you have some extra there, Shadit," he observed coldly.
Davian squeezed his eyes shut, barely able to believe that this was happening.
"Two of our team were killed today," he said. "Raelith is recovering from almost being killed. And you want to do this?"
"It's a shame that Raelith wasn't one of the two," said Marish calmly. "But even if he had been, the tremor has meant that collection is down. We need a little extra, and it appears that you have a little extra. So that's fortuitous."
Davian clenched his fists silently. He hadn't known Cheddar Anna particularly well, and neither had exactly been friendly, but their deaths still stung. It had been a sharp reminder that no matter his abilities, this place was too dangerous for him to save everyone. That pain had been festering, a frustration he had pushed aside, but now...
"No," he said softly.
"No," Marish chuckled. "I don't think you understand the way this works, Shadit. We are not negotiating."
His voice was ugly and low. Davian tapped his reserve. So little left, but there was more than enough for this. He couldn't give away the fact that he could use essence, but that wouldn't be an issue. These men were strong, but they were also thugs, far from trained fighters. He had Aelric's memories and a year of running through exercises in his prison cell.
"We are not," agreed Davian.
He smiled grimly, a flood of energy unrelated to essence rushing through him. He was sick to his stomach of being beaten down, of being a captive, of hiding.
"So here is my offer, Marish. If you think that you can take this metal by force, then you are welcome to try. Otherwise, leave me alone."
He deliberately turned his back on the man and sat down again next to the pail. There was utter, shocked stillness, and he didn't need the sliver of Khan he was using to monitor Marish's position to know what would happen next. Marish charged. Davian waited until the very last moment, and then fluttered his right arm with energizing essence, snatching up the pail and moving smoothly to his feet as he pivoted, swinging the enormously heavy bucket with all his pent-up anger. The metal-filled container blurred as he spun until it came to a sudden, crunching, jarring halt, connecting cleanly just below Marish's right shoulder. Marish fell, his screams echoing across the silent camp, clutching his arm and rolling in pain, the limb jutting at an entirely wrong angle. Blood was already seeping outward across the big man's shirt, the snapped bone protruding through his flesh. Davian calmly bent down and used his left hand to pick up Marish's club, which had rolled to his feet. He still held the pail in his right. He stared coldly at the other two men, then turned and sat down again. There was nothing but Marish's furious, pained curses for several seconds, and Davian almost dared to hope that his men wouldn't be foolish enough to try anything more. But then Marish coughed out a vulgarity-laden order and the two men were sprinting at him. He carefully put down the pail. He hadn't wanted this, but if he was left with no choice, he had no compunction about teaching these men a lesson. He once again tracked their movements using Khan, keeping his back to them until the last moment. It wasn't for showmanship so much as to emphasize to them just how futile their attack really was, just how insignificant he regarded the threat. He didn't want to merely injure these men so that they could no longer pursue their attempts at extortion. He needed them to realize that taking him on in the future was an utterly hopeless cause. The first came in with a hard, cowardly punch at the base of his skull. Davian leaned aside smoothly, Aelric's training and his own heightened senses giving him much finer control over his timing and movements than he had ever had before. He reached up and caught the arm as it breezed by him, twisting viciously and then jerking it hard across him, bracing his shoulder against it. There was resistance, followed by a sharp snap and a scream. Davian released the now dangling limb and finally stood, turning to face the third attacker, who had faltered at his companion's lack of success.
Ulf, if Davian remembered the name correctly.
If we keep going, there will be only one person on your team left capable of scavenging, wherever they are right now, said Davian, barely audible over the other two men's agonized moans. Working with two, perhaps with these two hauling between them, you might be able to make quota like everyone else. Work with one, and you're all eventually starving, probably taken away by the Elgoriate.
He eyed Marish.
And no one's going to take you in. Trust me.
The dark-haired man wavered. Marish snarled at him to attack, but Davian could see from Ulf's expression that his message had gotten through.
No more taking from other teams. If I hear it's happening, I'll come back and finish the job.
Davian held Ulf's gaze. Better to address him, dismiss Marish entirely.
Nod if you understand.
There was a long moment of silence. Ulf nodded. Davian deliberately turned his back on the three men again and sat down tiredly. Remarkably, he noted, Raelith had slept through the entire incident. That was good. The man needed sleep more than anything else right now. He ignored the gasping, pained curses of Marish as they gradually faded into the distance, until finally everything was hushed once again. It was hours later when a hand on his shoulder was shaking Davian awake. He sat up with a start, alert immediately, making Raelith, who had been leaning over him, flinch back in mild alarm.
"What's wrong?"
asked the other man, looking concerned at his reaction. Davian's drumming heart eased, and he let his shoulders relax. He had stayed awake for as long as he could the night before, worried that Marish or one of his people would come back to exact vengeance while he was asleep. He had drifted off at some point, but thankfully it appeared that his efforts at intimidation had worked.
"Nothing,"
he assured Raelith, rubbing his eyes tiredly. He glanced around, noting the lack of movement in the camp.
"This is early. Sorry. I woke up, and I just..."
Raelith shook his head.
"I've been thinking about Anna and Ched. I realized that we never remembered them, never sat down and really acknowledged their deaths."
Davian blinked blearily.
"And you want to do that now? If not now, then when? I almost didn't wake you because we both need sleep, because it felt frivolous,"
Raelith finished, his expression indicating how distasteful he found the concept. Davian vacillated, still rubbing sleep from his eyes.
"I don't want to sound callous, but are you sure it's not?"
he asked.
"It won't bring them back."
He hated saying the words, but Zavalar demanded practicality. Raelith stared at him seriously.
"It's not for them."
Davian grimaced, but levered himself up.
"It wasn't your fault, you know," he said.
"I know. That's not why I want to do this," Raelith said softly. "I just can't stop thinking about how little I actually knew them after more than a month of this. About how in this place it feels like so much effort to talk, to learn about someone, and especially to discuss with them what is important. Even when you know how easily things could change, it feels like something you can always put off until tomorrow."
He exhaled.
"I know they found me an irritation because I talked to them so much about El. But the truth is, now they're gone. I don't think I talked to them about him anywhere near enough."
Davian gazed at him sympathetically.
"It wouldn't have saved them."
"It wouldn't have stopped them from dying," Raelith corrected him quietly. "El alone knows the other."
He waved a hand at Davian's expression.
"Don't get me wrong. This isn't from guilt. It's not to make myself feel better. It's to make sure I don't forget.
Davian sighed, but nodded. He was tired, but this was clearly important to Raelith, and part of him acknowledged that the man had a point. They couldn't let trying to survive here strip them of everything that made that survival mean something. They spent the next 15 minutes sitting by the newly stoked fire, remembering their experiences with Anna and Ched. Neither had known the pair well, but they each had stories to share. Davian even found himself smiling at some of Raelith's anecdotes, something he had too rarely done since arriving in Zavelar. After, they sat silently for a while, waiting for the first bell to be rung.
"You never said the reward was freedom," Davian said suddenly. "For turning me in, I mean."
Raelith gave him a surprised glance, then shrugged.
"It didn't seem relevant."
"Still, a lot of people would have taken the risk." Neither man spoke for a few seconds.
"So when are you going to talk to him?" Raelith asked, his gaze focused on the steadily lightening eastern sky.
From the way he had said him, it was clear about whom he was talking. Davian glanced at the other man cautiously.
"Today," he said. "It cannot wait any longer."
His reserve was almost empty after his fight against Marish.
"You could come with me,"
he added, though without much hope. Raelith chuckled.
"Despite everything, if I were in a better state, I might actually take you up on the offer," he conceded. "As I am right now, though, I'll slow you down. Probably get us both killed."
He shook his head firmly.
"We have enough metal stowed away for weeks, and by the time that runs out, if you haven't figured out how to get more essence, I'm dead anyway. So, I'll stay."
He hesitated.
"I do have one request of you, though."
"Which is?"
"That your association with him does not compromise what you think is right."
Raelith held Davian's gaze steadily.
"Even if you think it would mean escape or saving lives or—"
He gestured.
"Given what he has done, even if he has changed, I fear what he will ask of you. Evil men rarely convince others to their side by asking them to perform dark deeds for no good reason. They will always start with the lightest shade of gray. They so often use what seems like a good cause."
"You don't think it's possible that a little gray is what's needed sometimes?" asked Davian.
Raelith snorted.
"No," he said severely. "Gray is the color of cowardice and ignorance and sheer laziness, Davian. Never let anyone tell you otherwise. If someone is not clearly right or wrong, then it bears actually figuring out which one it is, not dismissal into some nebulous third category. If you have a basis for your morality, a foundation for it, then there will always be an answer. And if you do not, then trying to decide whether anything is right or wrong is an exercise in futility and irrelevance."
Davian held up his hands in mock surrender at the intensity in Raelith's voice.
"I'll keep that in mind," he promised.
He glanced at the pail of metal in the corner. "By the way, you shouldn't have to worry about Marish now, or anyone else trying to take advantage in the meantime." He briefly explained what had happened the previous night. Raelith listened with a frown, to Davian's surprise, taking no obvious delight in Marish's defeat.
"Good to know," was all he said.
They talked a while longer, for once not needing to force themselves up and about with the other teams. Davian ignored the wondering, vaguely concerned stares that they received from a few that passed. Word had spread fast about Marish, apparently. Eventually, though, Davian stood. There was no reason to wait until after last bell to sneak away now.
"I think it's time," he said, a touch pensively.
He forced a grin.
"I'll see you soon."
Raelith smiled slightly.
"Of course," he said quietly.
He dug around in his pocket and produced the silver key, pressing it into Davian's hand.
"El with you, Davian. Be careful out there."
Davian gave him an acknowledging nod, then sucked in a lungful of dry air, and headed out toward the breach. The moon hung sullenly on the horizon behind him as Davian reached the edge of the crater, silently shrugging his right shoulder and letting the spare coil of rope from the breach slide down into his hands. His relief at the uneventfulness of the journey was short-lived as he peered over the rubble-strewn rise at the scene below, contemplating what came next. The crater was secure mostly because it had only three obvious exits, all of them still guarded by alert-looking Dargathan. Its walls, though, 30 feet high as they were, would be easy enough to climb down using his rope. Though Davian would be briefly silhouetted against the red moon at the lip of the crater, it also meant that the wall he was about to descend was in deep shadow. He paused, glancing again toward the center of the space below, where the Elgoriad roamed. The flat, open expanse separating the ring of outer buildings from the ones near the shining metal tower was a wash of black, from this distance a single rippling mass of Khan as the creature's vision intersected and overlapped. At least the thin Khan shield he was managing to maintain should hide him from that, should allow him to reach the oasis of buildings around the tower that, from everything he'd seen, the defending Banes avoided entering. Should. There didn't seem to be any emphasis on guarding against intruders. Logical, really, given that the Elgoriad would surely be expected to take care of anyone foolish enough to enter that patrolled inner ring. Davian held his breath, wishing once again that he had enough control of Khan to direct essence into a full invisibility shield, and then scrambled over the rise. Within seconds he was grabbing the rope and lowering himself down, disappearing into the deep shadows. He hung there, holding his breath, ears straining. Nothing. If anyone had noticed him, they hadn't raised the alarm. Exhaling, he continued, occasionally allowing a tiny trickle of essence into his arms to ensure that he had the energy to keep the descent slow and smooth. The coarse rope burned against his hands, but he kept moving at a steady pace. Within a minute, he was gently touching the ground, eyes darting along the narrow path ahead between two buildings. No movement, only the distant crunching of feet on loose stone. He released the rope, leaving it there. It was at risk of discovery, but was also the only way out if he didn't want to raise the alarm. This section of the crater was pitch black, thanks to the angle of the moon, but the dull red reflection off the opposite side allowed him enough light to navigate. He slipped between buildings, resisting the urge to peer inside. Strange smells emanated from more than one, a stench that, the first time it caught his nose, came close to making him retch. The structures were largely made of stone, though clearly shored up in places with wood. Whether the damage was from the recent tremors or had been there already, Davian didn't know. Either way, it was even more obvious now that nothing around him had been constructed within the last few months. There was an age to everything here, a sense that these structures had been around for a long, long time before their current occupants, before the rest of the city, in fact. He reached the corner of a building, peering around it into the expanse of red-illuminated space beyond. Creeping fear tightened his chest. Elgoriad roamed everywhere here. There were perhaps a dozen within 100 feet of Davian, and perhaps another 20 or 30 just beyond that. The creatures shambled, appearing to walk aimlessly from place to place and rarely even keeping to a straight line, although they did manage to avoid jostling each other. None of them seemed inclined to stray from the open area between the buildings and the metal tower, though, keeping firmly within the unsettling ocean of Khan threads they were creating. Liquid dripped from their needle-like teeth, and their eyeless gazes seemed to encompass everything. Davian shuddered, flinching back. In camp, even from his view above, this plan had made sense. Elgoriad clearly saw by using Khan. Therefore, he was able to make himself invisible to them. All he had to do was maintain his shield and walk right by them. but now, seeing the impossibly muscular 10-foot forms dragging themselves ominously across the ground, panting softly, slavering mouths agape, the logic of it all suddenly mattered a whole lot less. Even knowing that he wasn't going to die here didn't help. The 200-foot stretch of open ground between him and the tower was, simply put, terrifying. He stood there, back pressed against cold stone, for a full minute as he reconsidered. The tower into which he'd seen DeVade being led was in the absolute center of the crater, completely encircled by Algoriot-filled open space. There was no better way in, no other way in at all, in fact. Davian peered around the corner again. The dark form of a Dargaethan was slithering among the structures up ahead, but it wasn't looking in his direction and soon disappeared from view. He took a deep breath, then stepped out from the shadows and into the crimson light of the moon. He flinched slightly as the eerie illumination hit him, feeling more exposed than he could ever remember. If a single one of the Algoriot did manage to detect him, he wouldn't be able to escape, let alone fight them off. The dozen or so creatures close by initially didn't seem to react to his presence, and for a moment, Davian started to relax. Then the nearest one stopped its wandering, turned its head, stared directly at him. Then three more Algoriot did the same. Davian felt the blood drain from his face as he checked his con shield, still up, though sweat already beaded on his forehead from maintaining it. He watched the creatures, heart pounding and breath held. They didn't move. Then, as if at some unspoken signal, they turned and resumed their patrols. Davian barely avoided exhaling loudly in relief, stilling his shaking hands and forcing himself to calm. They had sensed something clearly, but it wasn't enough to raise an alarm. He should try and avoid getting too close to any of them, something he had already intended to do anyway, but nothing had really changed. He took one step forward, then another. The Algoriot continued to move, not reacting. Davian braced himself, then began deliberately making his way across the vast open space, resisting the urge to break into a sprint despite the risk of being seen by any Dargaethan passing nearby. That tower had to be a prison of some kind. If DeVade was being kept there, it made sense that it was for the most important prisoners, the most dangerous, which meant that if he made too much noise here, alerted the Algoriot that something was wrong, the creatures wouldn't hesitate to tear him apart. The journey seemed to last an eternity, though Davian knew that it had to have taken only a few minutes at most. At last he was stepping into shadow once again, past the edge of the circuit the Algoriot seemed intent on patrolling. The skin on the back of his neck crawled as he finally turned his focus away from the veins and onto the structure up ahead. Now that he was up close, Davian could see just how much metal had gone into its construction. His chest tightened. The steel on it could keep a scavenging team fed for years. He shook his head, stealing quietly toward the door he had seen DeVade being led through, then pressing back sharply as it abruptly opened and three people emerged. Two men and a woman, looking weary, albeit healthy enough. Their attire was dusty and worn, but didn't have the ragged tears and frayed edges that marked those who worked on the scavenging teams. Davian frowned as he watched. There didn't appear to be a lock on the door, nor were the people themselves bound in any way. The Algoriot nearby didn't react to their presence either, though they were no more than 50 feet away. The group made their way to a squat, square building not far from where they had appeared, entering as gloomily silent as they had emerged. Davian watched from the shadows for a few seconds, then moved on to the glimmering tower, keeping one eye on the building into which the people had just disappeared. They might well be prisoners, but he was wary of revealing himself to anyone at this stage. He held his breath, then pushed open the door and slipped inside. The interior was much like the outside, with gleaming steel plates lining the walls, though reflected torchlight made it seem positively bright by comparison. similar to the Venerate's underground complex in Ilshangath Del Teth, where the portal to Zabalar had been housed. Was that significant? He quickly checked the metal, and, sure enough, thin lines of Khan ran through most of the plates, though just as back in his own time, it was far too complex for him to grasp its purpose. A set of narrow stairs wound its way up around the outer edge of the tower, while there was a doorway to the center straight ahead that was ajar. Bright, pulsing light spilled through the slight opening, casting shadows in the hallway where he stood. Davian took a breath, listening to the silence before creeping forward, hesitantly placing his hand against the door and inching it open further. He peered through, squinting against the blinding light. The floor of the room beyond was glowing. It took a few seconds for his eyes to adjust. Once they did, he could see that one edge of the floor, which was steel just like everything else, had several rough-spun mats lying along it. Resting on each one was a figure, their features initially hard to make out but clearly human. Essence poured off those figures and into the polished metal below. Davian stared. The steel plates on the ground pulsed a constant, clean white, not serving any purpose that he could see except storing essence, more essence than Davian had seen in what felt like forever. He licked his lips, looking at the floor longingly for a second. With even a modicum more control of Khan, he would be able to refill his reserve in its entirety here. He cracked the door a little more, and his breath caught. The portal was in the corner of the room, opposite to where the figures lay. The familiar gray twisting void thrashed along its surface. It seemed more violent than usual, menacing, as if the time stream were trying to break free and seep into the tower itself. He watched, transfixed, for almost a full minute, not willing to step inside. None of the half-dozen people in the room looked like the man whom he and Raelith had seen. That made sense, he supposed. Davide would be a special prisoner and surely wouldn't be kept with any others. He sighed, then pulled the door closed again and started nervously up the stairs. The tension in his body built with each passing step. The stairway was walled with steel, and without his ability to easily manipulate Khan, there would be no way to hide from anyone if he encountered them here. And while he could always go back down, if he was trapped between someone ascending and someone descending, there would be no escaping. He climbed for what felt like ages, though it couldn't have been more than a minute. The tower gave an occasional crackle as energy seemed to dart through it, making Davian flinch, but there was no sign or sound of any movement up ahead. He emerged onto the next level of the tower, a narrow hallway with a high ceiling, finishing at a closed door 20 feet away. The only other way forward was the continuation of the staircase. Davian deliberated, then crept toward the door. There were no guards, but the steel made it look more than sturdy. Smooth and rust-free, it glimmered in the dim light cast by the lit torches that lined the walls. Davian hesitated as he reached it, then braced himself and placed his hand against the metal, pushing gently. It swung open silently. Davian flinched back, pressing up against the cold wall and peering inside. A sole man occupied the room, his back to Davian. He was seated at a desk, a candle illuminating his workspace. His head was bowed, and the scratching of quill upon paper filled the room. The sound came to a slow stop.
"If you have come to kill me, you have wasted your time," said the man tiredly, not turning. Davian said nothing. Was it the same prisoner he'd seen? The hair color and build looked right, but it was hard to say with the stranger's back turned. He stepped inside. Then something heavy struck him hard across the stomach, and he was lurching sideways into the wall, the breath knocked out of him. He braced himself against the metal plates and tried to rise, to recover and get into a position to defend himself, but froze immediately as something sharp and cold pressed at his throat.
"Not here to kill you," he wheezed.
directing the comment more to the diminutive olive-skinned woman at the other end of the half-length stone spear than to the man at the desk. No one spoke for a second. The woman holding the weapon, the thin shaft stone as well, he noted, not just the point, was lean, perhaps a few years older than himself, brown eyes flashing beneath a mop of curly brown hair. She seemed entirely at ease with both the spear and the situation, plainly confident in her ability to stop Davian from retaliating. Still, something changed in her expression as she examined his face. She seemed almost taken aback as the pressure on his throat decreased slightly. Her grip on the spear shifted, and Davian resisted the temptation to flood his body with essence and fight.
"I'm looking for information. I just want to talk," said Davian,
as calmly as he could now that he was able to breathe properly again, eyes finally tearing away from the woman and traveling to the man at the desk. The stranger cocked his head to the side.
"Wait, Naya. I know that voice."
He finally turned. It was the man he and Raelith had seen. Davian almost sagged with relief, forgetting for a moment that he still had something sharp pressed against his neck. The man pushed back his chair as he stood abruptly, eyes wide. He was tall, with dark hair and a smile that split his features as recognition flooded his face.
"Davian?"
He stepped forward, looking stunned.
"Davian?"
He waved his hand toward the woman excitedly.
"Naya, it's all right. Please let him go."
The young woman, Naya, was still looking at him with a strange expression. She eventually lowered the spear, twirling it in a vaguely ostentatious display before calmly hanging it on her belt. Davian shook his head bemusedly and focused back on the man who had paused a few steps away and was examining him dazedly.
"You're our kind Davade."
The man blanched.
"Tal. Just Tal, please,"
he said with a wave of his hand.
"So you knew me?"
This version of Tal'Kamar, Davian was fine with calling him that, as it was hard to think of him as Caden, was from some time after he had beheaded Davian in Dylanus then.
"Yes,"
Tal's expression suddenly cleared.
"Oh, of course. You knew me in other forms, and by a different name,"
he conceded to himself wryly.
"I called myself Malshash."
He peered at Davian expectantly. Davian just looked at him in bafflement, mind freezing.
"What?"
Tal grinned, and to the side, Davian saw Naya smirk at his obviously shocked expression. Davian's mind raced.
"So, you were the one who taught me?"
He shook his head as he tried to order the sequence of events, stunned, a few things that had been puzzling him over the past couple of years finally coming together.
"You tied me to the portal box so that I would bring it to you."
He'd always wondered about Malshash's involvement in everything. Now, so many of the things he'd said and done made so much more sense. Davian rubbed his bruised shoulder absently and then shot a glare at Naya, which only seemed to increase her amusement. He gnawed his lip as he thought back to those few weeks in Dylanus when Malshash had taught him how to use Khan.
"My ring,"
he said suddenly, eyes going wide.
"Fates, you said I dropped it, but—"
He swallowed, trailing off. Tal's smile faded. He nodded slowly as he examined Davian's expression.
"Ah, so you know that now, too," he said. There was genuine remorse in his eyes.
"You were trying to save me."
Davian had figured out that much about Malshash already over the past year. After being shown his own death, he knew it had to have been the reason Malshash had tried to prevent him from going back. But now that he understood it had actually been Tal, Caden, that made even more sense. It helped, too. Caden hadn't just been trying to undo his wife's death. He'd been trying to undo Davian's as well.
"Unsuccessfully, of course," Tal conceded heavily.
but that is a conversation for another time. How are you here? Why are you here? Did the Dargathan finally figure out where you've been hiding? He rubbed his face. Were you with the scavengers all this time, or have you found another source of food out in the wild? The Dargathan were looking everywhere for you. I thought you must have already escaped.
I've been with a scavenging team, but I only got here a few weeks ago, Davian admitted.
Naya snorted, and Tal shook his head firmly.
Impossible.
Apparently not, said Davian, somewhat defensively, because I got here 3 months after everyone else.
He scowled at Tal's disbelieving expression.
I assume that my experience in Dylanis must have altered my path here somehow, though I don't understand how all of this works. If what Melshash, you, told me back then is true, then everyone else here should have died the moment they entered the rift, he observed.
We survived it because it wasn't the rift. Not like what you went through when we last met anyway, said Tal, studying Davian with a frown. This is Zavalar.
He said the name as if it should be significant to Davian, but Davian had only ever heard it used by Raelith and the others. He shrugged, indicating he was lost. Tal searched for the words before shaking his head.
There will be time for a proper explanation later. But right now, are you truly telling me that the Dargathan didn't know that you're here?
When Davian nodded, Tal exhaled.
Well, we have some time, then.
He cast a critical eye out the window at the red-soaked landscape, Algoriat below moving on their unpredictable patrols.
You're safe enough in here for now.
How did you get past the Algoriat?
Naya asked abruptly, her eyes narrowed.
They should have torn you apart.
Her tone was vaguely accusatory.
I can't see him. No source, realized Tal, before Davian could respond, giving a low chuckle. Well, there's an advantage.
What does my not having a source have to do with anything?
Tal's smile faded.
You don't know? Then how...
He trailed off, brow furrowing as something else occurred to him.
And how in El's name are you surviving here without Khan?
Davian's heart dropped. He'd been assuming that Zavalar was somehow the cause of his difficulties with Khan, rather than its being something wrong within himself. But part of him had still hoped that Tal would be able to use it.
I made a reserve of essence for myself before I came here. It was close to full when I arrived, and it's been enough.
Until now, he said heavily.
So you can't manipulate it either? I can't do much more than create a shield. That's how I got past the Algoriat. And even that feels like I'm lifting a building with my mind.
He glanced up again to see both Tal and Naya looking at him strangely.
You think you touched it? Used it?
Tal asked, sounding nonplussed.
Davian, the Algoriat identify their prey through looking for a source. That's how you got past them.
No.
I definitely used a shield, Davian said slowly. Khan is just different here, somehow. Much harder to reach and use. It takes every ounce of my focus to do anything with it. You're sure?
There was a low, restrained confusion to Tal's tone.
Yes? Davian felt his brow furrow. Why?
Because it's impossible, Tal shook his head. No one can use Khan here, Davian. No one can sense Khan here.
The Algoriat can, pointed out Davian.
Because they are made here, said Tal firmly. Their creation in this broken time stream allows them to access Khan, but we cannot.
Davian closed his eyes, focused, fumbled for Khan for a few long seconds, gritting his teeth as he stretched, scrabbled, trying not to let it slip through his fingers. He shuddered as he finally caught it. Manipulating it here was like trying to carry a boulder. With a groan, he snuffed out the candle on Tal's desk. He gasped, opening his eyes to see Tal and Naya staring at him in utter shock.
How?
Tal's voice was shaking. He was looking at the still-smoking candle dazedly.
Davian, that shouldn't be possible.
Well, it is. Not that it helps us much, observed Davian bleakly. That is the very best I can do, and I've been trying for weeks. He glanced across at Naya, still not feeling comfortable. The woman bared her teeth at him in what might or might not have been a smile. Tao's expression turned thoughtful.
And you truly created your own reserve?
Yes. That was before I was here, though.
How long since you did that?
Davian considered.
A little over a year?
Tal shook his head in disbelief.
And Talon Gol did not corrupt the vessel?
Not that I noticed.
You would have noticed, Tal assured him dryly.
He rubbed his chin, his eyes bright with an excitement that Davian couldn't quite understand.
That's strange, but do you know what this means?
Davian shook his head mutely, and Tal chuckled quietly at his bemused expression.
It means we are saved, said Tal.
He smiled, the expression full of hope.
It means you're going to save us all.
Chapter 27 Weir pored over the papers on Tayrus's desk, so deep in thought that he didn't register Aaron's presence until the augur was almost next to him.
Sire!
The young augur leaned down and said the word loudly, a mixture of amusement and irritation in his voice as Weir jumped, finally shaking his head and offering Aaron a half-irritated, half-apologetic grin.
Lost in thought, he admitted.
He glanced around, noting that they were alone and that Aaron had thought to close the door behind him. He gestured to the seat opposite. What did my uncle want? Aaron threw himself onto the chair.
Exactly what you thought. Getting the details straight. Making sure the rumors would be entertaining enough, I suppose. If you want people to spread something, it can't just be true or even important. It has to be salacious.
He shrugged at Weir's reproachful expression.
It's just the way it is. You need a villain, he continued. People need someone to be outraged at. Say that everyone's going to die and they'll be uneasy. But say that everyone's going to die and that someone's to blame?
He spread his hands, posture indicating his confidence in the theoretical rumor's success.
Oh.
Weir rubbed his chin, nodding as he considered. No different from schoolyard rumors in Kaladel, really.
I suppose you could say it was me, but...
He cut off as Aaron laughed, a genuinely amused sound.
What? Fates, Torin. You don't always have to be a martyr, you know. I was thinking of Tol Shen.
He raised an eyebrow.
You know, the ones who actually knew and actually left. They're not hated, but the way they uprooted hasn't sat well with the people here. Most agree that they should have stayed and worked out their differences rather than all but divide the country.
Oh, yes, of course. Weir coughed, relieved. He was getting too accustomed to being a scapegoat, apparently.
That sounds much better.
Aaron chuckled again.
Good, because half the city's already heard it by now.
He leaned back, stretching.
How did your reunion go?
Weir made a face.
You're not going to like it, he admitted.
Weir held his breath as Aaron pushed ahead of him and stormed into the lockroom, his glare poisonous as it focused on Siner. Siner looked up, gazing back mildly at the other augur.
Hello again, Aaron.
Aaron's every muscle was tense, as if he was close to violence. He could well be, Weir had to concede, given the conversation they'd just had. Weir hurriedly shut the door behind him and put a restraining hand on the young man's shoulder. Aaron shrugged it off angrily, but the message seemed to get through.
What are you doing here? He spat.
Siner looked reprovingly at Weir, who shook his head slightly in response.
I explained everything before we came, he said with a pointed look in Aaron's direction.
Aaron's lip curled, and he deliberately ignored both Weir and the black-scarred man, turning instead to Tayrus and Achelle, who were the only other people in the room.
Don't tell me you two are being as stupid as Torin and actually trusting him.
That's as stupid as Prince Torin to you, Aaron, said Weir severely, his voice cutting through the surprised silence before anyone else could react.
He understood Aaron's anger, but that didn't mean that he could let it go unchecked.
I know you're upset, but if you cannot remember that much, then you can leave.
Aaron glowered, then closed his eyes.
I apologize, sire.
His teeth ground audibly.
But this man is a murderer. He is working for the Ath. He put Asha in that machine. He is responsible for starting the Fate's Cursed Rebellion 20 years ago.
He pulled in a frustrated breath.
That we cannot believe a word he says is an understatement, and you know it.
We're not trusting him, said Achelle promptly.
The young woman looked exhausted, but Weir was relieved to see that she seemed to be entirely under control today.
I read him.
Siner spread his hands in Aaron's direction.
You can read me too, if it will ease your mind.
Aaron's eyes narrowed, then he shrugged.
All right.
He walked forward swiftly, as if daring Siner to change his mind. Siner didn't react as Aaron reached out and, slightly more forcefully than was strictly necessary, touched two fingers to his forehead. Weir watched Aaron closely, but it wasn't long before Aaron gave a reluctant grimace and dropped his hand.
Well, asked Siner, his gaze steadily on Aaron as the younger augur's eyes opened.
Aaron didn't reply.